The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus again, in reply, spoke to the chief priests and elders of the people in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. He dispatched his servants to summon the invited guests to the feast, but they refused to come. A second time he sent out other servants, saying, 'Tell those invited, behold, I have prepared my banquet, and my calves and fattened cattle are killed, and everything is ready. Come to the feast.' Some ignored the invitation and went away, one to his farm, another to his business. The rest laid hold of his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged and sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The feast is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy to come. Go out, therefore, into the main roads and invite to the feast whomever you find.' The servants went out into the streets and gathered all they found, bad and good alike, and the hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to meet the guests, he saw a man there, not dressed, in a wedding garment. The king said to him, 'My friend, how is it that you came in here without a wedding garment?' But he was reduced to silence. Then the king said to his attendants, 'Bind his hands and feet and cast him into the darkness outside, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth.' Many are invited, but few are chosen." The Gospel of the Lord. On the surface today, the gospel seems like a cruel story. And in kingdom parables, the king or the landowner is usually God, which makes God look like a very cruel person. And once again, human beings, in trying to figure out God, only have human experiences to work with. So we often project onto God human emotions and logic, and then convince ourselves that we know what we are talking about. It is a difficult story nonetheless, and Jesus has a clear intention in telling it. God has everything to give to us, but we must receive it. Remember St. Pope John Paul II's description of how most Catholics receive sacraments? We get this beautifully wrapped, colorful package with bows and decorations on it, and we are content to put it on a shelf and then go back and look at it once in a while and say how pretty it is. But we don't open it up to find what is inside. God has this banquet feast he wants to share, a celebration for his son. It is nothing less than his own life. He first invites all of humanity, generally, Adam and Eve, their descendants. They didn't respond. They sinned. You get this invitation, you see, but you don't RSVP. What is it about RSVPs and people? We're still the same today. Maybe one out of four people will respond in a timely manner. Anyway, they ultimately ignored his invitation. So he sends out his servants to invite people personally. It was through the covenants that God called his chosen people to the feast, through his servants, the prophets. But some people ignored them, and others even killed them. So he says, go out into the byways and find whoever you can. It says they brought back everyone they found, the bad and the good alike. That's where we come into the story. All are invited, but how many really respond? How many people open the gift to be able to appreciate the beauty and significance of what the king is offering? One of the things I find hard to do is to make the announcement at weddings and funerals that not everyone is able to receive Holy Communion. Families who come together for these celebrations are painfully reminded how they are divided sacramentally. Many people are upset that the Catholic Church does not practice Eucharistic sharing, or what some churches call the open table. It seems to many a great lack of hospitality. Rather than simply telling non-Catholics they aren't welcome, however, I usually try to explain, "Now that we come to the time for Holy Communion, I am not permitted to give Eucharist to any of you here who may not be Catholic. But don't let this be a moment of division or disunity. Let us all pray at this time for the gift of unity, which we know to be the will of God, so that one day we can all join together at this banquet." It is true that God wishes all people to gather around this banquet in unity, but the gift comes with certain instructions of how it is to be received. A gift that is taken on one's own terms is no longer a gift. And to ignore the instructions would be like wearing the wrong clothes. With the call comes a request for a commitment. This is the RSVP. Now, if you were invited to a wedding feast hosted by a king of any nation, certainly you would dress appropriately and respectfully. It would be a sign of loyalty to your king. To not do so might be considered a kind of rebellion, which may explain why the king's reaction in the parable today seems so extreme. It also gives us insight into what might be the proper reaction to sin. Sin is itself a kind of rebellion. And how precious is the gift of God's forgiveness that we have known. "Behold, I have prepared my banquet. My calves and fattened cattle are sacrificed, and everything is ready. So come to the feast."